Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. Are you happy and you know it? Did you get happy when you used to sing that song in elementary school? If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Yes. If you're happy and you know it. Sometimes we have to put forth some effort to be happy. That's for real. You know, we have so many situations coming up in life that can really and truly take happiness away. And we got to go after happiness. Bring it back. Of course, the goal, though, again, being not to be happy. Well, actually, that can be a goal, but the objectives have to be different. Remember, I've been sharing that with you. Don't just expect to be happy because you say, I'm going to be happy. No, do the things that bring you happiness. So that said, let's continue to take a look at Help Guide's tips on cultivating happiness. I love it when we can be happy on purpose. Now, here's the thing. I think a lot of us have figured out that relationships really are important in life. And the quality of our relationships means so much. Now, it's important to try to take inventory of all your relationships. And of course, I'm not referring to, you know, the person that you may have spoken to, you know, you may have said hello to while you were at the grocery store. You never seen the person before. And as far as you can tell, you'll probably never see the person again. Not talking about those kinds of relationships. The relationships where you're seeing someone all the time. And when I say all the time, maybe once or twice a week, maybe five times a week. Think about people you see at work, people you see at your place of worship, people you see at home, people you see at school, people you see on a regular basis. That is, those are relationships to really consider. I'm not saying those are the only ones, because of course we do have cousins and other relatives who we don't see on necessarily on a regular basis, but those relationships are meaningful as well. Siblings who live in maybe different parts of the country whom we don't see on a regular basis, but those relationships mean a lot. We need to be thinking about relationships and what we're doing to nurture those relationships. Now, that said, let me point this out. I'm with you. Those of you who say, well, it's not only up to me to nurture the relationship, the other person has to do something too. I agree. You're exactly right. And the bad news is, other people don't necessarily do their part to help nurture and build beautiful relationships. And of course, sometimes we're the ones who fail to build beautiful relationships. Sometimes we might build a good relationship with this person, that person, that person, and choose for whatever the reason to not have a good relationship with these people. And when I say that, it's not always about race, ethnicity, gender, whatever else divides us. Sometimes it's about clearly, I mean, purely personality. I don't want to see this person do well in life. Why not? I don't know. I just don't want that person to do well in life. And so, instead of cultivating a relationship, instead of nurturing a relationship, instead of building a relationship, the decision is made to tear a relationship apart. Of course, when it comes to building relationships, forgiveness is important. As I've mentioned before, I've asked forgiveness a number of times, of course. On an individual basis, And the way I prefer to do it, and this is just my preference. I'm not saying this is the way it has to be done. This is just my preference. Usually, if I'm going to be seeing someone face to face and I'm going to be complimenting them, I prefer to compliment them face to face rather than by phone. Now, or text. Don't get me wrong. There are times when I do compliment people over the phone, or I may compliment them via text. But my preference is to be right there with them when I'm offering praise, congratulations, etc. Now, I say that to say this, back to forgiveness. There are times when I may apologize and ask forgiveness over the phone, or I may do it via text. But my preference is to be right there with the person, apologizing to them. I think that sometimes it can help. It's not a guarantee, but it can help improve the chances that that person will really pick up on the fact that you really mean it. You're really sincere. And that's not to say they won't detect sincerity if you apologize over the phone, ask forgiveness over the phone, via text. Something about the face-to-face, the eye-to-eye, that helps enhance the heart-to-heart. And sometimes, you know, I've apologized to individuals, I've apologized to groups, and each time, I mean it. Just the person I am, if I'm not going to mean it when I apologize, I don't apologize. If I think I don't owe a person an apology, I don't apologize to them. So when I do apologize, it is because I've concluded I've done something wrong that calls for an apology. And I don't wait. When I realize that, I do not wait for that other person to ask me to apologize. And, you know, I don't wait for them to confront me. When I realize I've messed up, I initiate that discussion. And sometimes, you know, I'll do the same thing to a group just as well as I will to an individual. And I know that there are some people who are upset with me right about now. And again, I do apologize for disappointing, and I do ask forgiveness. You know, I know that there have been times when some of you may have wondered, wow, you know what? He is so ready to ask for forgiveness, to say, hey, you know, this is where I messed up, and to ask for forgiveness. Does he ever forgive other people? Does anyone ever come to him and ask forgiveness? Well, truth be told, that happens very, very rarely. There are many people who do offend me. There are many people who say things, many people who do things that upset me. But very, very, very few people will come to me, confess their fault, and ask forgiveness. That happens very rarely. But I work on forgiving anyway. Just like, you know, I said, I don't wait for the other people to come to me to say, hey, look, this is something you've done that upset me. I don't wait for people to come to me and say, hey, you know, I know I did you wrong. I don't wait for that. And you can probably tell by some of the things I've shared with you before that I know from my own experience that sometimes it's easier to forgive than others. Some situations are just easier to let go of than others. But if we can let go, and if we will let go, we can be about the business of building some beautiful relationships. One of the things that I think is terrible is when a person has a very, very good track record, a very consistent track record, and occasionally prove to be less than perfect. And people who see the moments of less than perfection, decide that they're going to really, really just be extremely hard on that person. That's terrible. I tell you, sometimes I find myself occasionally wishing that people would show me the mercy that I show others. And I tell you what, I really believe that for the most part, that will happen because the Lord Jesus said it would. He said, give and it will be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men and women give into your bosom. And I know that a lot of people use that passage of scripture to encourage people to believe that they can receive a lot of money. Especially if they're giving money, they can receive a lot of money. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. But ladies and gentlemen, if you will read that entire chapter carefully, I mean, take your time, slow down, and read that chapter very carefully. One thing that you will notice is that Jesus did not discuss money in that chapter at all. In that passage that deals with people giving into your bosom, he does not address money. If you read that chapter very carefully, you see that Jesus is addressing mercy. And I know it may be disappointing to some people to hear that Jesus was talking about mercy when he was saying, give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together so they can get even more in, and still putting so much in that it's still running over. So many people thinking, oh man, I thought he was talking about money. I'm not excited about that passage of scripture anymore. I hear you loud and clear, but ladies and gentlemen, you know what? There are times when we need mercy more than we need money. That mercy that people can show us can do much more for us sometimes than money would ever do for us. And right now, mercy. I have shown mercy to so many people. I have given mercy to so many people that I'm expecting God to work in my behalf, move in the hearts of people who are upset with me and have them give me mercy the same way I have given mercy to so many. And again, I would dare say people I have forgiven, of the people I have forgiven over the decades, I would estimate that 98% at a minimum have never come to me and confessed that they did me wrong, apologized, and asked forgiveness. I would guess 98% have never come to me. I've gone to quite a few people. I believe in that. That's part of my belief system. If I've done someone wrong and I recognize it, I'm apologizing. It's a whole lot easier for me to apologize than to pretend that I did nothing wrong and just keep going. And I've shown so much mercy to so many people who have refused to come to me and apologize. I am not waiting for that. I learned a long time ago, do not wait for people to come to you, confess that they've done you wrong, and apologize. Do not wait for that. Do not wait for that. I go ahead and forgive anyway. I give mercy anyway. And because the Lord Jesus said, give, and it will be given to you. And I know I have given plentifully when it comes to mercy. I'm expecting, I am anticipating that there will be many who will be showing me mercy, giving me mercy. I guarantee you some of the ones who really and truly could be giving me mercy right now are people to whom I've already given mercy. Mercy. It is so beautiful to give it. It is so beautiful to give mercy. It is great to receive it. And it is great to give it. Mercy. 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 And when we, can you imagine when we are exchanging mercy, that great gift from our Creator, mercy being exchanged. Think about how that can have such a tremendous impact. And I do mean tremendous impact on relationship. Husband and wife exchanging mercy with sincerity and with gladness, exchanging mercy. Parents and children exchanging mercy. I know some of you might be saying, wait a minute now. Parents exchanging mercy with their children? Yes, parents mess up. Children aren't the only ones who mess up in the relationship with the parents. Parents mess up in the relationship with the children. Yes, parents and children exchanging mercy. People who have very, very relationships where they rarely even see each other. Rarely talk with each other, if ever. But they're familiar with each other. They're aware of each other's presence. They're aware of some actions of each other. And they decide, hey, you know what? I was aware of this. That person was aware of that. Let's exchange mercy. So when we come back, let's be about the business of looking at some more ways that we can nurture relationships. And as a result, experience greater happiness. Why hold a grudge and bind ourselves when we can forgive and experience greater joy? Back in a few.